Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hello and welcome to the Full of Beans podcast, hosted by myself, Hannah Hickenbotham. Throughout these podcast episodes, we will speak to a range of individuals about their experience of eating disorders, with the aim of increasing awareness and understanding, whilst reducing stigma and isolation. Please note that the topics discussed in this podcast may be triggering for some individuals, so tread lightly, check in with yourself, and reflect on these conversations.
Hello, everybody. We have a bit of a different episode for you today. I am joined by my best friend in the world, George Mycock from Maya Minds. And today is our 100th episode. So it's a very exciting day. It's also my birthday this week, so the timing is perfect. And I'm a big birthday fan. So obviously going to have to do something good. So hello, George.
Hey, Hannah. It still makes me laugh every time I hear someone pronounce my last name on some kind of recording. There's always that second of like, oh, how am I going to say this? How am I going to say this? You did it well. Normally, there's a slight pause between the my and the cock, and everyone kind of mentions it, but you did it very well. But yeah, happy birthday. It's your birthday week. We're technically not right now, but it will be when it comes out through the magic of podcasting.
It's just like a classic kind of move to be like, right then, I'm having a month and 12 days of birthday.
And you're all going to your birthday, officially starts now because you've done the birthday podcast. So anyone tries to claim that it's not your birthday, you can be like, well, I have actually officially recorded the birthday pod. So
that is true. We do have Christmas before that, and I'm also getting Topaz before that. So I've got two. Like nice, well, one is nice. I'm just going to say Christmas is nice. And the other is freaking best day of my life. It's going to be the best thing ever. Just for everybody listening, I'm getting a cat and it's going to be called Topaz. So lots of pictures of Topaz.
What kind of cat? I was going to say, you've sent me some pictures. What kind of cat is Topaz?
Topaz is a blue Serbian. So the long name is like Serbian forest cat. But they kind of look like ragdolls. A lot of people have been like, oh, you're getting a ragdoll. And they have a very similar temperament as well. So like super cuddly, just kind of like flop when you pick them up. Like they don't really do anything other than snuggle, which is what I need from a cat. It's going
to
be amazing.
Isn't that amazing that we like managed to breed animals that just like love to snuggle? Like, isn't that the most human thing ever? We're just like, we'll just create this animal that wants to hug us.
Yeah. But also, if I was to design a cat based on me, I genuinely don't think like sparkly blue eyes, fluffy, and just wants to hug everyone. Like, I don't think that I could make a more handy cat.
You could dye its fur like a rainbow.
Oh, colour. Yeah, that's
then
true.
It'll be more you. But that may also be quite cruel to the cat. So, you know.
Yeah. And like ruin his fur.
Amazing. I'm not much of a cat person, so. You know,
you're definitely a dog. You have the best dog in the whole entire world. So.
Yeah, I do. Best two dogs in the whole entire world.
Now. Oh, well, I haven't met Dolly yet, so
You haven't. But yeah, Dolly's now become, for people listening at home, I have two dogs. I have a dog called Millie, who is the greatest dog. She's the most like soft and lovely and kind, and she also doesn't lick you, she just sniffs you, so she'll go like as close to your face as like you could ever, like within atoms but not quite touching you, and she'll just sniff you. So even if you don't like dogs, and for a lot of people who don't like dogs actually really like her, because she doesn't actually like touch you, she just comes really, really close to you. But if you like try, so if you like tried to like kiss her back, she moves away. And then I've got Dolly, who's the exact opposite, who just wants to like lick everyone and everything. And yeah, she's got these massive, like, but we call her Buggy because her eyes look like they're gonna like pop out of her head. She's like a Cavapoo Sean, so she's got like little tiny legs. Uh-huh. But anyway, we're going very off topic here.
This is very us.
Yes, it is very standard.
The first episode, no, episodes first, didn't we? And then we did our that was based on 100.
That was 100.
Well. We did 100 questions.
Yeah, we both had the exact same moment there. I saw your face take it, and my brain took it at the exact same time. We went, 100.
Oh my god!
So when you do your 100,000th episode of Full of Beans, I expect to be on that as well. When we're both like 60. Long would that take? Someone do the maths. Someone listening in, do the maths, please.
But yeah, now we've sorted out, like, everybody knows who our pets are. That's great. Given the inside scoop. Yeah, that was on the list of things to discuss.
Yeah, today, I can mark off the first question now.
So I think maybe basically the reason I wanted to do this episode, I've kind of faced that before, is been very open about it on the podcast, but unfortunately, like, I have experienced a relapse, and I don't think that, I mean, I've not really come across any resources or sort of people speaking out about experiencing a relapse, kind of what it's like. And for me, it's very different to when I had my eating disorder the first time. So I wanted to sort of speak about that. But that's a bit sad. So I also wanted to talk about things I've learned from the 100 episodes, you know, why I'm still doing it, and yeah, then to talk a bit, maybe if we have time, about sort of plans going forward. Maybe not like my 26 year goals, because, you know, we all know that when you set goals, and I don't know, I personally never stick to them, but maybe hopes for the future and hopes for Full of Beans and stuff like that. So I'm gonna hand it over to you.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, I feel this like immense amount of pressure to suddenly take over this responsibility. So I'm going to do my very best. But yeah, so I guess the best way to start this off, with this being the 100th episode and kind of wiggling our way into it, is 100 episodes, a lot of episodes. That's triple figures. Yeah. That's a big old list of people you've spoken to. Each one's, you know, half an hour to an hour, sometimes maybe a bit over. That's a lot of conversations. Is there any kind of main lessons or anything that you've taken from your 100 episodes, like big things that stand out to you?
I mean, I think the thing that I've learned about myself from the 100 episodes is there is nothing that gets me happier than speaking to other people. You know, like, when everybody that comes on has their own sort of passions, their own interests and that sort of thing, and this was actually a really good learning curve for me in like my career as well, because I was very set on wanting to do a PhD, but I could never really pin down, like, what is it really that interests me? Like, you know, I know I'm interested in eating disorders, I've done my master's, I've worked there, blah blah blah. But what is it like, what subject is it that I really enjoy? And I realized that I don't have like a specific interest, but what I love is kind of knowing a little about a lot and really kind of understanding so much, and having somebody come along that's, you know, very passionate about something, teaching me about it, and then me sort of taking what I want from it and then going and doing a bit more research if I want to. And I think it's been a really good learning curve, because for so long I was like, I have to have my one thing that I know everything about. And actually, you know, eating disorders is quite a niche subject anyway. So knowing a lot about eating disorders, or knowing a lot about, like, you know, different things, mental health associated and stuff like that, that's still quite niche. So my one thing is, you know, being able to take maybe complex things that people don't have access to, creating that conversation that means that we can chat about it, I can engage, and then other people can listen and learn in that way, because not everyone is going to want to go and read a paper on something. But, you know, like, we had Dr. Jamie Fusner on a few weeks ago. That episode was incredible, but there's no way that all of the stuff that he kind of spoke about, everybody would have the access or the ability to go and find that about that. But hopefully by me sort of asking the questions I was interested in, I was then able to be like, you know, to be able to help other people learn in different format to just a paper or reading it online. So I think that's the thing I've kind of found out about myself the most is I just love chatting and love communicating and really get things across.
Well, I mean, I could have told you that you love chatting to people, but but no, I think that's really important, isn't it? I think especially as you kind of as we get to kind of the age that we're at and that you're at today, well not technically, but at 26, I think are those kind of like early 20s. I think when you're a kid, you're often told by older people like what you should become, mm-hmm. and you're kind of convinced by all these wonderful older people who you're certain have it nailed down and understand what life is about, the kind of paths that you should go down, and then you start to create this image of what your life path should look like and what the correct steps are up that staircase that you're supposed to be taking.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much power in recognizing that that's all bullshit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, none of it's true. And there's a really amazing philosopher that I love called Viktor Frankl, and I've probably told you about this a million times, so I'm going to apologize, but for the people who haven't listened, Viktor Frankl's a philosopher, and I think he was either a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And he talks about how the meaning of life is about being able to recognize or deal with the fact that we have an inability to rationalize the meaninglessness of it. And that sounds quite dreary and down, but I'm going to explain how I read that and how I actually think it's beautiful. And that what I take of that is that we all attempt to rationalize life in a way, and we're all wrong. And the beauty of that is you don't have to be right. Mm-hmm. And actually, these people who tell you you need to do a PhD or you need to have a certain letters behind your name or you have to have a certain amount of money coming in or a certain amount of whatever, they've got it wrong equally as the people who tell you that you shouldn't do any of that stuff. We're all wrong. And it's just about you and about what you want.
Yeah.
And that's where that discovery of yourself comes in and such a powerful tool. And I think one of the beautiful things of doing a podcast, because I do a podcast myself, is you get this platform where I think the best thing, and I'm sure you have this similar thoughts, is you become comfortable with being yourself in like difficult or in situations where people are listening to you and people are, you're being recorded and you have to, you know, we're trying to articulate ourselves in a way that other people will listen and other people will find interesting, but also being yourself in that situation is so hard. And anyone who's listened to this, if you've ever done public speaking or you've ever been recorded doing a conversation, you'll know that you re-record it like six times because you're like, yeah. Oh, I don't want to say that, or I can't do that. And you're constantly manipulating yourself. And to get to the point where we can just be ourselves, yeah. And be confident in that, that allows you to then be confident in making decisions for yourself as well. And maybe that's what's happened there, or that you're part of it. Mm.
That's such a good point. I've never really thought about that. Like when we do a podcast, like I never re-record anything. I just kind of, you know, say what's on my mind, and sometimes I listen back and I'm like, oh, what on earth was that? But then other times I'm like, that was so inspiring, or like, but I'm not kind of worried about what I say. And I think that, you know, doing the podcast has definitely given me so much confidence in everyday life of kind of you know, just being able to talk openly about things. And that's something I've noticed recently, is had a lot of people message me like, you know, it's so brave what you're talking about, and thank you so much. And I get that, and I get that not everybody's in the situation where they can openly talk about it. But I'm like, why are you kind of saying that that is like a good thing? Because it's just natural now after talking about it for so long. But also what you were saying about Viktor Frankl, when you first told me that, I remember thinking like, that is just so miserable. like genuinely, I was like, I actually hate that, George, in my head. I didn't want to say it because I wanted to give myself time to process, but I was like, if everything's meaningless, then what the hell is the point? But then the way that I sort of rationalized it in my head was that if everything is meaningless, then it means that, you know, when you're sad, that's how you're feeling right now, but that's not going to last forever because it's meaningless. But then also when you're happy, I think it just allows you to like balance things and see them as being more in the moment and more present, because what you're doing right now does have an impact. Like, I'm not going to say that what you're doing right now won't have an impact on your future, but I think we put so much pressure on very specific, like big things, you know, like, I can't think of an example, but like a big thing, you think, okay, this is going to change my life or whatever.
Like getting a certain job. Yeah,
brilliant example, especially for me. getting a new job.
I didn't want to say anything.
Serial jobber over here. But actually, and this is what I've sort of been thinking about in recovery as well, is that it's not the big things that make a difference. It's the little things. And I think for me, going back to what I was saying about connection, like the like small interactions in the day to day of, you know, whether it's with somebody like a friend or someone in a shop or whatever, they're what actually mean something to me. So with the Viktor Frankl thing, I don't think that everything is meaningless. Scheme of the universe, like, you are just like a pinprick, so yeah, it's probably, but in your life maybe not, but like the things that we maybe quantify as like being the big successful things are not, and the things that are sort of like, oh, you know, that's just a whatever, actually are the things that make, well, for me anyway, the happiest.
And the beauty of Frankl's message is that, you know, he's saying that we're all wrong. So he's also agreeing that he's wrong. Like that, the idea of life being meaningless is also equally as wrong as the people. Yeah. You know, that's the beauty of it, is none of it's right. And there's no way we'll ever know if any of it's right. Like, we won't understand it. So it's just finding one that, so, you know, for me, seeing life as like this kind of meaningless thing that I might as well just enjoy and do things that I think are good and important and things to me, helps me. But for a lot of people, it might be that actually finding so much meaning in life and meaning and life being so important can be brilliant for them, and that's the way they rationalize it, and that if that works for them, that's fantastic. They're equally as wrong as I am, and all of us are, and I think that's part of it, and that's kind of part of the beauty of the message overall.
That makes me think about like when people talk about self-care and stuff, obviously like everything in life is going to be different for everybody, but I think, you know, especially when we're talking about like recovery and stuff on the podcast, like for me, I know that you have said so many times like journaling is something that really works for you. Journaling for me just does not, it just makes me more anxious or more nervous, like getting it down to paper, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna reread this 1,000 times. Maybe I shouldn't do that, but whereas I know that I told you a couple of weeks ago, like putting it into an Excel spreadsheet that is like, you know, here's the point and then you answer that, and that has worked so much more for me. But I find, you know, maybe journaling doesn't work, but just talking, ringing somebody and talking to them, talking it through, that's perfect for me. But for other people, you know, having to go to the kind of, you know, phone to ring somebody to then feel like you're putting them out, like that might be something that's really uncomfortable. So I think recovery and life in itself, everything is so different for everybody that we can't just say, you know, this is what works for me, therefore this is what's going to work for you. And I think especially, you know, the last few months and stuff, I've really realized that, in terms of, you just got to approach it the best way that you see fit for you. And it's going to be, you're going to try some things and think that was a load of bollocks, and then you'll try other things and think, wow, that was actually really good. But yeah, it's so much trial and error, which is, I find really bloody annoying, because we'll probably get to 90 and be like, God, I wish I knew that when I was, you know, now I sit here and I'm like, oh, I wish I knew what I know now when I was 14 or whatever. It's never going to happen. But I guess that's the whole process of discovering yourself and finding all and all that whole woo-woo
Yeah, and it's one of the, it's, I guess it's one of the beautiful but also most frustrating things about life is, I think we, so many times you see these things of like, you know, here's the wisdom of this 90-year-old man or woman who's lived all these years, and they think you should do this, this and this, and then you know, but for you that wouldn't work. It's like those like people who are like, this is maybe a metaphor, it doesn't quite work, but those people that are like 130 and then they say, oh, I smoke cigarettes my entire life and I eat a bacon sandwich every morning or whatever, and then they're like, so that's the key to living to be 130, and it's like, well, it's not, because it's everything's individual, and that's beautiful because, you know, I think the thing, the pathway through life that's potentially the best, again probably wrong, but is to figure out yourself and to kind of dive into yourself, and part of that as well is finding the path that is best suited for you to dive into yourself. So for me, writing things down is a massive part of what helps me figure out myself, and for you, you hate it. But yeah, I think that's kind of the key, isn't it, is figuring out what works for you and also figuring out what you actually want and what you actually like, what actually works for you and makes you feel good.
I think it's just about, which this is going to sound so simple when I say it, getting rid of stress and making things more happy. Because like, maybe the person that has cigarettes every day and a bacon sandwich every morning for breakfast, maybe they're just, that's what makes them super happy. They're probably quite lucky as well that they could do that and be fine. But yeah, I think stressed people shorten your lifespan by stress. So sorted life.
Well, there's, I don't know if you've read any of Gabor Maté's stuff. He's like I think he's a psychiatrist as well. But he talks a lot about trauma and about like big traumas and little trauma and how that affects our health. And he talks a lot about that, about the idea that stress and experiencing different difficulties actually seems to link very strongly to different physiological and psychological issues. So, you know, even like your heart health and your lung health and different, like, you know, other physiological diseases and you know, immune system complications and all that kind of stuff, so many of them link to stress. And if actually if you can reduce stress and reduce that kind of negative emotion, it seems to have an impact. So I should get him on. Yeah, he's really cool.
The way that I kind of see stress show up for me is my IBS gets so bad, and I'm like, you know, how is that possible that me just being slightly stressed, I'm now like, I've got these physical symptoms of it. And then when you actually stop to think about it, I don't know whether it'll be out on
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
But I did a podcast the other day with Emily Andrew about EFT, and we did some tapping and just taking 2 seconds to think about it. And actually we spoke about this with Rory Brown as well, which I think is going to be episode 101, so that'll be next week's episode. He was like, just notice like how you're sitting and how tense you are. And I was like, oh my god, my whole body is screaming stress, and I was just not completely unaware of it because it's just how I always am. So I think you can go along being so unaware of it, and then all of a sudden you realize, you're like, I need it.
Well, there's that whole, like, it's not something I've read much into, and I do kind of want to, but there's that, you know, there's this whole area of conversation and literature of that, the connection between the mind and the body. And, you know, people talk about it in yoga a lot and how much that these kind of connections come through. And I think it's way more complicated than we actually think. And I think that I was doing a training day at work yesterday, and we had a guy come in and talk about posture and how, you know, the way that you sit can affect the, you know, affect different things. And I do think that we always hear about those power poses, don't you, where like if you stand in with your hands on your hips and this stuff, then you can release certain chemicals in your brain, stuff like that's just amazing. Like, you know, we're just like a big sea of atoms, but if you arrange your atoms in a certain way, then suddenly you start feeling a different, like, just so ridiculous, like it makes no sense, but it just shows how like complicated, and I just think it's silly, but like it's great. Yeah. Like it's a nice silly, but it's just like, it's so silly that this is the way things work, but also so interesting. And yeah, I want to ask another question about this because, and this might be a tough question, at least because I didn't run it by you beforehand. What do you think doing these 100 episodes, what do you think it's learned or helped you learn about others? Because I have some reflections on, I haven't done 100 episodes, but some thoughts about what I've learned about other people from doing these things. But I was wondering what your thoughts were.
I think the kind of thing that comes to my mind, like most quickly, and I don't know, this feels like an obvious answer, but this is what came to my mind, is how different we all are. Like, I know that sounds really stupid because obviously we are all different, but I think...
Not stupid.
The 100 episodes, like, it's made me realize not only are we all different, but like we're all navigating different things. And you know, I'll have somebody come on and do a podcast about, I don't know, like autism and any eating disorders, and then you think about like the different challenges that those people will face, but then you talk to somebody else and they've got their own challenges as well. And I think it's just made me realize how like versatile, and I don't want to use the word like not strong, like resilient we all are, because we're all going through so much, but we still all turn up kind of every day. And I just find that so fascinating when you, like, it's like what I was saying earlier about the fact that I love speaking to different people and finding their interests. Like, there's nothing that gets me more hyped than when I meet someone new and I'm like finding out, you know, what their quirks are and what their interests are. And I think that's why I love doing the podcast so much, because when you see someone like glow when they're talking about something, like I remember doing the podcast with you and we were talking about like just sort of eating and like excessive exercise and muscle dysmorphia, and you just like radiated. Like, I still specifically remember that so much, and it's like you just, I could see you like beaming because it was something you were so interested in and like you knew so much about it, and that's just so lovely when you see somebody so like into something and just wanting to share what they know with you. Like, I think that's such a lovely connection when somebody is like not trusting enough, but like, you know, wants to give that information to you as well, something that makes them so happy they want to kind of pass that on to you.
I love that. I think that's so, yeah, we all have that kind of passion. I think everyone has something like that. And I think one of the things that I guess something that's transferred for me is not necessarily something that's happened on the podcasts, because they're often coming to talk about a certain subject, so they're like ready to do it. But I think because I've always speaking to people who are so passionate about stuff, I've started talking to people like in my normal life about and trying to ask them what they're passionate about. And so many people often struggle to come up with something, and then we kind of ask them about different things, and we dig in and we find something. And I think so many people like don't, including myself and certain things, I feel like we don't let ourselves like embrace our passions. And I think part of it's that story thing we were talking before, where like, you know, when you get older, you have to kind of recognize that all these steps that people tell you you're supposed to take are bullshit. And then you, like, I feel like so many people don't like embrace those things. And when you let someone do it, which is what is beautiful about a podcast, because you let someone identify the thing that they want to be, they're passionate about and want to speak about, and then you give them like a time where they're gonna have an hour to 2 hours where they get to just go off on it. And that's what we see, isn't it, is that beautiful moment of where there's always a little bit of hesitancy at the start, but then the ball rolls and suddenly you're just like hurtling down this hill together and they're just like popping off left, right and centre. You know, it's like, it's so amazing to watch that happen. And I think me and you both have that, you know, we both have those, like I'm semi doing it now where, you know, you get those moments where you feel that ball rolling and you're like, this is the shit. Like this is what life's all about. Like, this is amazing. And that's something that I feel like I've learned from doing pods is that everyone's got that in them and everyone loves that. Like, everyone loves that moment.
Even and if they're kind of at the start, like say a bit nervous or whatever, I love that moment when you're in a podcast and it like clicks and you're like, okay, this is the good, like we're getting to the juicy bits now because they're so excited and want to share. And I think it's made me such a good listener, and not just a listener, but like a good question asker as well to other people. Like I've noticed in, you know, my personal life when I meet someone new, I'd never be like, not like in a rude way or whatever, but I maybe wouldn't ask specific questions to find out more about someone. It'd kind of just be like, hi, how are you? Like, you know, maybe talking more about me. Whereas now it's like, I just want to like keep asking the questions.
So I think we should probably move on to talk about your relapse and what's been going on with you recently. It's quite tough. I don't want to make this about me because it's really not about me, but I think like when you asked me to do this, I was a bit scared about this because I feel like I'm going to get upset because we're going to talk about this. And I think it's been really tough for you, and it's been tough watching like this, like from a distance. So I guess I also don't want to pry too much in case of stuff we don't want to talk about or whatever, but I guess it's up to you how you want to explain what you think's happened and we can go from there.
I think just a few things on what you've just said. One is, firstly, like I'm so grateful that you are okay to do this. I know it's a big ask, but I genuinely wouldn't want anyone else to do it with anybody else. So I'm really grateful for that. And also, you know, I'm really grateful for how you've been over the past few months, because it is a hard thing to go through. And I can appreciate also it's a really hard thing to go through to watch your friend go through it, especially, you know, we don't live near each other, so we don't really get to see each other, like we chat as much as we can, but you know, I think for everybody that has been supporting me through it, it's kind of the elephant in the room, because we all know it's happening, you want to ask how I'm doing, but equally, like, I don't always want to talk about it, and I don't want just like the friendship or whatever to just be me saying like, yeah, I've had a bad day today or whatever. But equally in that sense, you know, this is why I wanted to do it, is not only for me to share like how it's been, but I think there's a lot of people out there, and obviously this is totally up to you, like how much you want to say and stuff, but so many people out there that are friends and family members that are going through similar things, and to be able to, you know, hear a friend of somebody going through it, I think that can be really supportive. I literally the other day was speaking to somebody and they were like, oh, I listened to your podcast and I wondered if I could ask you a few questions because my friend is really ill with an eating disorder. And she said, you know, I just don't know what to say. I'm so worried about saying the right thing or the wrong thing. And, you know, I think often we forget about the impact. I certainly do. I forget about the impact that what I'm doing is having on everybody around me. I'm not in any which way saying that like, it's my fault, because it isn't, but you know, for everybody to sort of watch, you can't do anything ultimately. Like, you can, with the best will in the world, you know, you can be there, you can check in on people and everything, but you cannot control what I am doing, and to some degree I don't feel like I can. So it's really hard to navigate that, so I'm just really grateful that, you know, my big concern when I first relapsed was when I was 14, I lost all my friends. You know, nobody understood because I didn't tell anybody. I was so unbelievably ashamed of what was happening. And I knew this time that...
America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
And I think, you know, that is from 12 years of self-development and now working, you know, doing the podcast and stuff. I'm lucky in a sense because I know how to talk about it. But, you know, for example, this Christmas, whenever someone's invited me to something, I've said, you know, I am going to come, but I'm going through a relapse at the moment. So can I do it my way? But I would have never done that before. So I would have just cancelled and not gone. And in that sense, then that's why I think I lost a lot of friends, because I just stopped going to social events. Whereas I think for me to be able to be so open and to have that space to be like, you know, today's not a good day, or like, you know, I don't want to call today because I'm having a really bad day. And I don't actually think that as chatting, I think I'll just feel more sad that I can't engage in that. I think having that open communication has really helped to stabilize and keep those friendships, which I'm so grateful for, that everybody has been so supportive.
I'm happy to talk about my thoughts and my experiences as we go through it. And I want this to be about for you, and I want this to be something that you get something out of this. Like, I guess that was my initial worry when you first asked me, was that this was going to be just a thing of like, oh, well, I've done this thing now, so I'm better. And I think, if I'm being honest, and I was worried that, and this is something maybe, that I should talk about and other people experiences. It is scary when someone's going through this, because, you know, as well as I do, that when you have the issues with eating and have an eating disorder, you're so good at like finding ways around it. And so like even subconsciously, you know, you'll find ways of working through and finding ways of getting people to do things that will like help kind of keep things going, even if you don't realize you're doing it.
Yeah.
And I think you get really paranoid that, you know, I didn't want this to be something that I was like helping you kind of like reinstate some of the things that you've been struggling with, or making things worse or deeper ingraining stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do genuinely believe, and I know that the Full of Beans is helping so many people, and I want this to help you. And so I guess I didn't want to make this about me. I wanted to try and help you. But yeah, it has been tough. If I can, you know, talk about that a bit, and just I think the thing that sticks out of my brain, I don't know how much you want me to share and stuff, but we had like a phone call a while ago, and you told me that like you didn't want to get better, like you felt like you didn't want to get better anymore. And that was really scary, because like I'm gonna cry. And again, I'm making it about me, which is fucking
no
stupid.
You're not,
I'm sorry. The whole time I've known you, like you've only known me when I've been kind of in this like recovery stage, and you've seen me have like ups and downs and stuff, and the whole time I've known you, you've been in this recovery stage, and I knew about your past and stuff, but to see how much you changed, and like to get to this point where you were at that point where you just didn't want to get better, and you felt like you didn't want to get better. But that was really horrible to listen to. I guess for people listening, like it is really tough to deal with that. And I'm with you on that. And I think it also, like, you know, maybe I was going to say anger, but maybe like frustration is the better word, but like I'm really frustrated because you're my best friend, like I love you so much, and I hate that this thing is stopping you from being the person that I know, and that like makes me angry. And one of the things I often say to like people who ask me about, you know, how do I approach someone who's struggling with an eating disorder, is recognizing that one of the worst things you can do is that confrontational and that frustration that comes out and kind of engaging with that. So it's one of the best tips I can give is to take a step back. And, if it is getting to the point where you're starting to feel like frustrated and you want to just say, you want to like snap or you want to like, kick off. Cause I think that's really normal for someone who's talking to someone with it. I know that when I was going through it, I must have annoyed so many people because, I just, again, didn't want help and whatever. I think it's, really like important that you recognize yourself that you are only human, and if you do get frustrated, and you can make stuff worse if you do get frustrated and start like not being rational in the way that you're speaking, or at least being calm in the way that you're speaking, or being honest in the way that you're speaking, because I think the emotion can cloud you and you can end up saying things that are stupid. But yeah, it has been really tough, and I want you to talk about your experience as well, so I'm going to stop there. But yeah, for people who are listening, who are going through it from like the perspective of being the friend or the family member, like I get it. And yeah, the best advice I can give is that like don't be afraid to take a step back and also be honest with them. I hope you recognize that I was always honest with you and said when I was scared or when I was worried or when I was, or when I needed to take some like a step back or I needed, needed space or whatever. Because the person will understand that as long as you can, kind of mention to them and make sure they know that you're not blaming them for that. It's your own, like it's me that's getting tired or getting frustrated or getting worried. It's not you that's doing this to me. I think that's important.
I think the thing that I found the most important that I know I've already said, it's just the communication side of things. Like, it is frustrating, it is tiring, and it is scary to watch somebody go through it. But I have this like really distinct thought in my mind. So I like often will, especially at the moment, I come back to my parents, just because no other reason really, that I'm just trying to be with the people that I love. Because, as I said earlier, that's what makes me happy. But my mum and dad were fast asleep. And I thought, oh, great time to get a workout in. And so I went downstairs and I did a workout, and I actually woke my mum and dad up from doing the workout. And my dad apparently said to my mum, oh, she's exercising. And my mum came downstairs, and my mum is very much, she wears her heart on her sleeve. Like, when like you've annoyed her or when she's happy or whatever, like there's no room for anything else. So you just need to let her like deload whatever's gone on. And then, then other people can talk. And she was just like stropping around the kitchen, and I went through and I was like trying to be all like, ignore the fact that I'd just done a workout and it was all hunky-dory. And I was like, Mum, is everything okay? And she was like, no, I'm just really annoyed. And I was like, oh, okay, why? And she was like, because you did a workout, like, I'm just so annoyed. And I was like, okay. She was like, I'm not annoyed at you, I'm annoyed at the situation, but it's coming across that I'm annoyed at you, because like, you are the one doing it, but I know that that's not your fault, but I just need to tell you that I'm so frustrated because I can't protect my daughter, and that is kind of like my role. And it kind of just made me realize that how important that communication is, because my mum and dad could have gone without saying like we were upset that you did a workout, but then that would have built a barrier between us. And at the end of the day, that's what the eating disorder wants. The eating disorder wants you to get you alone.
Your mum would have built up some resentment for you that she wouldn't have voiced, and then she would have like subconsciously have treated you differently because she hadn't voiced it to you, and then you would have been overthinking that. And so her telling you up front, I'm frustrated because of this, that immediately lets your brain know, okay, that's why she's acting this way.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can all kind of move on from the situation and work together as well, because I then said, okay, this is the reason that I did it and blah, blah, blah. And, I'm not asking you to kind of, pin me down and not let me do it, because I don't think that's beneficial for anybody. But maybe this is how we go forward, and this is how we learn from what's just happened and stuff like that. So I think that communication element is so important. But I also think that the honesty element, like you said as well, in terms of, when you're with other people, is, I think it's a really hard line to draw, and you have to kind of hit it at the right moment. But I find sometimes when people say, like, I'm concerned about you, I'm like, oh, just piss off. Like, you know, there's nothing to be concerned about. Everything's fine. Or the eating disorder is like, oh, they're concerned. We're getting some attention. Mm. This is very nice. But then also, I don't think I have spoken about this yet on Full of Beans, but it is something that I'm going to share because I think it's an important thing to reflect, because my BMI is quote unquote healthy, but I'm still having like all the physical symptoms. So I will in time share about this. Well, I guess I'm sharing now. But yeah, when I had to go to A&E, and basically what had been happening is I'd had chest pains for a few weeks and I ignored it because classic kind of person, you know, struggling with an eating disorder, it's like, well, everything's fine, like I'm just going to rise above this, like I'm not going to focus on it. And the chest pain had just kind of been getting worse and worse, and then I was feeling quite nauseous and I was having like hot sweats at night and stuff, and I thought, I don't feel like this is right. And I rang the doctor because I was like, there's no point in ringing like 111 or whatever, I'm sure everything's fine. And they were just like, you need to ring an ambulance. And I was like, what? And I stood in my hallway and I was home alone. And I was just like, this has got bad. Like, I didn't think that.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With rss.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
It was this bad. I thought I was invincible, like I'm functioning, I'm fine. And I had like a split second of like, shit, like what have I done? But it didn't last very long. And I think that's something that interests me so much about the eating disorder, is that I literally had to go to A&E and I had to have blood tests and I had to have an x-ray and I had to have all of these, an ECG, and so I've never had an ECG in my life. Mm. And still it didn't hit me that like this was bad. And I find that I get like these very infrequent waves of sort of, oh, like that's bad. Like I did a podcast with Elle Kelly, and she was talking about bone density and how every year that you don't have your period, you lose 2.5% of your bone density, and that peaks, as I know from doing eating disorder masters, at your late 20s, and after that you can't get it back. And it's just, I think the reason I'm saying this is, I think I've gone up on a bit of a tangent, but it's, I would just want people to know, if you have an experience in eating disorder, how completely invincible you almost feel. Like, like nothing can stop me. Nothing can, like I am like immune to everything. Like the, you know, the doctors can tell you this, and the kind of psychologist you're working with can tell you that. But I think until it actually happens, you just keep on ticking away. And I was actually having that conversation with my mum this morning, because aside from the food element, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything, because I am still working, I can still go to the gym, I can still do my scrapbooking, I can still see my friends. You know, I have had, and this is probably part of the issue, I've been to more parties over the last few months than I have been to in my whole entire life. And I very much am aware that that is because I'm seeking that high of, you know, I've already said 1,000 times how seeing other people makes me happy and seeing my friends. So I'm just waiting for that weekend to come to have a few drinks so that I'm a little bit looser and I get to see my people and I'm super happy. And that is better than any antidepressant I've had. And, you know, I think that's why it's so scary, because I'm still able to do all of that stuff. And so I don't currently feel like I'm missing out on anything. And I think it was in the podcast I did with Rory Brown, he said the reason people struggle so much in recovery is because they don't know what they're recovering for. And that's 100% where I'm at the moment, because everybody has been so supportive and so lovely, that on one side has been amazing and wonderful, but it's also, well, the people that I love are still here. So why do
I was going to say when you mentioned feeling invincible, because to me it wasn't that I felt I think people also talk about it as if feeling invincible, but I don't think it was that for me. At least it was more that the goal of what I was trying to achieve through my eating disorder, nothing else mattered more than that. So the things that would harm me potentially from it didn't matter. It wasn't that I felt like I was invulnerable to them. It just didn't matter as much as the goal of what my eating disorder was trying to achieve. So it, like, I guess if someone said to me, like, do you think you could survive like this happening to you, or that happening to you, or these bodily functions happening to you, or like, do you think they're good things? I'd be able to say like, well, obviously they're not, obviously they're really bad, obviously they're going to like fuck me up in the future, or they're going to mess me up, whatever. But they're not as important as what my actual goal was. And I wonder if that you resonate with that, or is it different to you?
I think it's an element of that, definitely. Yeah, there's definitely an element of that, but I think it is that I think partly because I've been ill before and I know where I got to before and I still was fine. I mean, I wasn't fine, but I'm like, well, I'm not there yet. So, you know, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's that the goal definitely, but I don't even have a goal. That's the thing. Like, this is like something that I've always found in whatever element of my life. I never have a goal. I just like do something because it feels like the right thing to do in that moment. And I've said this so many times on the podcast recently, but like, everyone always says that, oh, live in the moment. And I completely am living in the moment at the moment. I'm living in the wrong moment. Like, I'm not living in the moment and embracing life. I'm just living in the moment of like monotonous groundhog day, like not being able to see how my behavior today affects me in the future. And I keep like drilling that into me, like, you know, every small thing that you do right now is impacting your future. And I actually started therapy on Tuesday, and you know, I was explaining the situation and everything, and the therapist was like, you know, I am really concerned about you, but equally I'm very concerned, but you are just deteriorating, so, you know, let's nip this in the bud now, because it's going to be hard to get out of this now. But if you carry on, it's going to be even harder. And I think that's the thing that I'm maybe slightly awakening to, is that the longer this goes on, the harder it's, because I, as I said, I'm very much just functioning at the moment. Like, I look to the outside, I mean, maybe not to the outsider, because I think people can tell that there's something wrong, but life is not falling apart. Life is kind of remaining okay. But I think, you know, I don't know how long it's going to be or how bad it sort of has to get before I think, But that's the issue, I think, from people that I've seen that do get really, really, really poorly, you then can't see that there's an issue. You're so like encapsulated by the eating disorder. I'm sort of having a realization as we talk through this. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's you know, you can't, is the classic thing people say, you can't help people who don't want the help. And I think it's getting to the point where you can have that recognition of like, I don't, it's not necessarily that you don't want to get help, because I know you're obviously seeking treatment, and but I guess I wonder if you're doing that because you know that's what you're supposed to do, or if you're doing it because it's what you want to do. And I feel partly you're smiling as I'm saying that. And I think partly you're doing it because you think that's what you're supposed to do, which is still great, because it's great that you're doing it, because you need, because yeah, I agree that you should do it. You're supposed to do it. But yeah, I think, yeah, at some point that'll click and you'll realize, oh, this is actually something that you want. And maybe that comes from when, you know, when you do. But what do you think? Where do you think that'll come from? Where do you think that, do you have an idea of when that'll happen? Or has it happened, or is it happening, do you think? Or yeah, where are you at the moment with that?
I mean, I think you're totally right in the fact that I'm doing it because it's kind of what you're supposed to do. I also think, you know, if I turned around to my mum and said, I'm not going to do that, like we shook on it that I would find a therapist that I wanted to work with and that I would. And so I think
I would also kick off if you said you weren't. So. Oh, well, I wouldn't kick off, but you know,
like you, Ben, and my parents, I'm not up for that fight. Like, I'll go to but I mean, even the therapist said the other day, like, you are very externally motivated at the moment. So rather than thinking that that's a bad thing because you've not got that internal motivation, just like, you know, thrive on that external motivation. And I think sometimes you've just got to use what you've got right now. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to lie to you. I know it made you upset, but I currently don't want to get better still. Like, nothing has changed there. Like, I think at the start of this, I was more depressed than I am now. I genuinely do feel happy. I just feel disconnected, I think, which is really strange because I am seeing so many people and enjoying the company of so many people, but I do feel disconnected from people. And you know, people will be having conversations with me and I'm like, oh, when's this going to be over? Like, when can I go back to being in my own little hole? And that's definitely something that I think is a motivation, because I am a very sociable person, and then, you know, I went on for ages earlier about how much I love being with other people. But I don't think, and I think this is one really important thing that people maybe have the wrong perspective on. I don't think that there will be one thing that happens. And I think, praise the Lord, recovery's a go. Like, let's dive on in and let's go. Like, ultimately, it's just got to happen. Like, you can't, I know very well that I can't carry on like this. That there's just, you know, I've started to notice my memory's going, my balance is going, like my work is not maybe as good as it should be because I just can't concentrate. I'm freaking cold. I know we're all cold, but like, I'm so cold. So whenever I'm talking to somebody, I'm like, I'm not really listening to you because right now I'm just really trying to stay warm. And but that's, I know that, you know, that can't carry on like that, and I don't want it to carry on like that. But I think rather than thinking I'm gonna have this big breakthrough where I'm like, I'm doing recovery, and then every day I wake up and I bounce out of bed and I go downstairs and I eat my breakfast and I'm all happy, it's gonna be horrific, like, let's be real. But you have to want to put yourself in that horrific position, and the more days that go by that I don't do that. I think this is one thing I've definitely noticed, and my mum commented on it actually earlier. There seems to be a slight glimmer of Hannah coming through, like the true Hannah that's like all happy, bubbly, the one that, you know, we all love. And I've had moments where I'm like going to do a workout. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. I'm doing it anyway at the moment. But that pause is really, it really feels like something. And before I go to like eat something, I'm like, am I making the right decision here? And I have been going along down the line of the eating disorder, but the fact that I'm having that kind of just an inkling of a slight thought, I'm thinking that is quite positive. And yeah, like, actually, I know this sounds really, well, it's not silly in the slightest, but the other day my friend texts me, he lives two doors down, so it's very handy for having like your two of your best friends very close by. And he texts me, he's like, have you seen snow? And I was like, in bed, like, oh, I'm not getting out of bed right now. And I thought, no, I'm gonna get out of bed and I'm gonna go and look at the snow. And I went and looked at the snow, and then I was like, oh my god, it's literally like it was so heavy. I've not seen snow like that since I've lived in Cambridge. And I was like, I'm going to go outside and dance in the snow. And I went out and I spun round and like, I took a video of myself. My smile is bigger than my face. And just little moments like that. I know that life is not like that all the time. And that's definitely something that I was aiming for before, was to like be constantly that happy. And that's just not This is not how life is, but little moments like that. I've not had that sort of like happiness without the aid of alcohol or without alcohol or without other people for months. Mm-hmm. And also when I say alcohol, like, I mean like having a few drinks at a party to like loosen up, but I still think it's a reliance on it. And I think that is like an issue that I need to face as well. But without other people as well, I was just in my garden dancing in the snow, like playing around. And I thought, yeah, this is sort of where I could be. Like I could have this a lot more if I didn't have the eating disorder sort of strangulating me.
Yeah, I agree with you in that. Especially when you mentioned before about the kind of moment of when you're going to recover, and I think that's the tough thing, and I think that's where this comes from when people talk about moments all the time, is because we experience life in moments, like as we are going through it. You know, every time I say a word is a moment for me and a moment for you, but then when we look at things with perspective, we can see them as a path or as a kind of spectrum of events that happen over and over again. So, you know, in that sense, you do have moments where you choose something, or that you have this moment of like, oh, I'm going to be recovered and I'm going to go for recovery and I'm going to be this. But then you also have a moment immediately after where you don't, or a moment immediately after that where you choose something else. You choose the eating disorder option, or a moment after that where you then regret that, or a moment where, you know, and all these moments exist separately. So you do have those moments, but it's, yeah, I guess the full picture is that actually they exist on that kind of spectrum that goes up and down. And that I would argue that the fact that you're starting to question things, or you're starting to have those thoughts, and you're starting to go out and dance in the snow, and you're starting to do stuff like that, that's you're moving across that spectrum, maybe more so than what you would have done in the past. And that's brilliant. And the problem is that you're maybe still having, I don't know, 80-90% of moments that you're experiencing as time goes by where you feel like you're not. But within that kind of spectrum that you're experiencing, you're maybe still at least being tipped a little bit more in that recovery direction, hopefully. At least I hope so. I guess that's what I was thinking about when you were saying that, is like, it sounds like you are having those moments, but it's just, yeah, I suppose it's the way we look at them, isn't it? That makes the difference, the way, the kind of angle we take on that. I guess from me, that's like that sounds like a positive turn on things, even if you still experience all those kind of negative moments that come along with it.
Yeah, and I think that it just makes me think about like how scary having an eating disorder and the whole recovery thing is, and also like the relapse process. It's so easy. I mean, often like I'm like, oh, I've just got my head above water, like everything's fine, and I don't kind of recognize the scariness of it. And like when I first noticed that I was sort of relapsing, it was such a weird situation, because I was very much of the opinion that I could dip my toe in and nothing bad would happen, because I'd, you know, over the years when I'd say been in like quasi recovery and stuff, I've very much like had a difficult time, dipped my toe in for a day, and then been like, screw that. Like this hunger is awful. And so actually to realize that I wasn't having those thoughts, and that this is going to sound really bad, but that it was working, was really, like, looking back on it now, it's quite scary. But I think also like, it's that you don't recognize how bad things are getting. It's just kind of, it goes back to what we were saying before of like, you know, when you've got like people saying they're concerned and stuff, and you're just like, well, you know, there's nothing to be worried about yet. And it's just that constant like, yeah. But for the eating sort of, nothing is ever enough. And you're just constantly, you know, one behavior becomes bigger or longer or whatever, and then another behavior comes, and it's never enough. And it's sort of when will it be enough? But then in the same aspect, so that's like a really scary element of it, of like, you know, being in it right now is scary. But equally, what you were saying about like, you know, you have that moment where you think, yeah, power to me, I'm going to recover. And then like 30 seconds later, you're like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. That's all like, blah, blah, blah.
And that's part of the problem with that, like, you know, how things can kind of get caught away from you again comes from existing in moments, because you know, the your next moment might be only 3% like more eating disordery than the previous one. Yeah. So you think, well, that's not like, it's only a little bit. I'm only making one choice. Where, you know, but then if you looked at it over the months, then suddenly you notice this like kind of this massive change. But for you, it's just always been, well, I'm only doing 1% more than what I was doing before, so that's nothing. And yeah
like if we just cut back that slightly, or if we just do a little bit more of that, like it's so tiny that in the moment, like you're saying, you don't recognize it. But as I'm saying that, I'm sort of thinking, like, because I was thinking this the other day when I talk about how like the things that you do right now, and I was actually, I think I said this on a podcast, like having butter on a sandwich, it's not like a massive thing, but it will have a massive impact. And then I was like, hold up, that would be a massive thing for you. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, that is a big thing. But like, rather than, I'm having a bit of a
epiphany
came to us at the same time again, thank God there's no delay. Rather than thinking, okay, so tomorrow I'm gonna have, you know, the biggest breakfast I've had for months, the biggest lunch, the biggest snacks, the biggest dinner, I'm going to be on my track to recovery, just do a small step. Like, you know, in the same way that you brought it down, take it back up, rather than thinking, okay, you know, I'm currently in the depths of this, so tomorrow I need to, you know, eat a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's, which might be something I would enjoy, might be not be. But it doesn't have to be that drastic. Like, I can give myself time. But I think it's that all or nothing nature of the eating disorder, in that I either have to be in the place that I'm in now, or I have to be recovered. But actually, you can take it at your own pace. And I guess taking it at your own pace also is less overwhelming, because it's not sort of that drastic change that you're probably not going to stick to, because it feels really uncomfortable. But if you could maybe have a little bit more, do a little bit less.
Yeah.
Which I distinctly remember actually you once saying to me, cut your workout down by a minute or 30 seconds or something, just so that you're doing like a tiny little thing. And I remember at the time thinking, George, like, as much as I love you, that's just ridiculous, because like, I just need to not be working out. And I actually recently have been ending things slightly sooner, and it feels so horrific. Like, I didn't realize it would feel so bad. But then I've been practicing like box breathing, and then I've been like thinking of the pros and cons of what me stopping versus me carrying on. Even sometimes for like 5 seconds, I'll end it before. And I think it's what I've realized now is it's not about like the like drastic thing that you change, is how you respond to when you do something that puts
you ain't heard about Moto Casino.
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
In an uncomfortable position, something that makes you anxious, because then when you are in a situation where there is something that's really like, oh my God, this feels completely out of my comfort zone, you've already got those tools in your back pocket to be like, okay, so this is awful right now, but come on, just take 2 seconds, do some box breathing, think about the pros and cons of you being in this situation. And you've already prepared yourself, rather than just being like, I don't know how to handle things like this.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was going to bring that up, the whole exercise thing as well. So, but yeah, I think, again, it's maybe a good kind of thing for people listening to hear. I think, you know, when we want to make a change, like you say, we always want to kind of go all or nothing and kind of dive straight into what it is we want to achieve. But especially when it comes down to fear and kind of worry about making that change, especially with that eating disorder stuff, everything that you want to do can be kind of infinitely reduced down to a simpler and simpler, or like an easier and easier task. And that's what I was saying to you about the workout, where at first, you know, you were talking about you were doing X amount of workouts and X amount of time. And I said, well, could you take like 5 minutes off that? And you didn't feel okay with that. I was like, what about 1 minute? What about 30 seconds? What about 10 seconds? Mm-hmm. Or what about 3 seconds? Like, even, you know, it could go to the point where, and that seems like you're understandably ridiculous, because it's like, well, that's not going to make any difference. But making that slight difference, you know, the way that feels is the same, like it's almost the same, like, you know, the kind of mechanism, at least, you know, I know nothing about like neuroscience or anything, but it's that same like pathway, isn't it, of making a change, as if it would be, if it's a huge one, obviously it feels less daunting, but it's the same thing. So then I feel like it then makes you think, okay, so I changed that and like nothing terrible happened. So maybe I could take another second off. And then, you know, and then eventually you'll hit that wall where you'll start to think, oh, that's too many now. But maybe you'll feel a bit more confident to then take that next step. And it's something I used to do for my anxiety all the time when I was like first speaking with my counselor, which would be, you know, if I was too, I used to get really anxious about if I'd been like binge eating for a lot. I used to get really anxious to go to the gym or like see friends or something. And he would say, well, how about like you just like walk into the gym, or like you just, and then I was like, I can't do that. And he's like, how about you just walk to the gym and then go home? Or like, well, like, why don't you just like get out of bed and get dressed as if you're going to go to the gym and then get back in bed. And I used to do stupid stuff like that where I'd just get dressed and then get back in bed. But it adds up over time. And
exactly.
Yeah, it makes an impact.
I think that's the thing that I've really just realized since we've been talking, is like, it's not about doing maybe the whole thing right now, but if you can do like a small bit, like you said, get out of bed, get dressed, because then you know that you can then get out of bed and get dressed. So then when you try again, you're like, okay, now I'm going to get out of bed, get dressed, I'm going to go downstairs. And then you build on it gradually. You're kind of building your tolerance to that uncomfortable feeling, so that then you can get to the point where you can get out of bed, get dressed, go downstairs, have your breakfast, go walk to the gym, go into the gym, do your workout and leave and not even think about it for a second. But I find it so interesting how like I didn't have any qualms about when I was in the relapse, but like when things started going down, I didn't have any qualms about reducing things, you know, certain things, or making certain things longer. But that's because you constantly were getting that reward from the eating disorder of like, well done, well done, well done, well done. There's no well done anymore. Like, it's you're literally doing it. Well, I'm literally doing everything now just to kind of stop that voice. And then when I do something wrong, that's when the voice heightens. And that's what I was going to say about earlier, was like, I think that's the reason why so many people get scared of recovery. And I know why, that's why I'm so terrified of actually engaging in it, is that I have done this before. I know how horrifically hard recovery is. And I think it's great when people share on social media about their recovery and their recovery wins and stuff, but you only see like, it's the highlight reel, isn't it? It's the, you only see the good parts of it. Like, oh, I went out for cake with my friends and I had a great time. But I mean, yeah, that might have happened, but also like, what about, and you know, you might not have had any of this, but what about like the anxiety for 2 weeks leading up to it because you knew you'd planned it? And then what about the feelings of guilt and shame afterwards? And like, they're so strong and powerful. And I know that is literally the reason I'm like, oh, I don't really know like if it's worth it, because that feels so hard. And I don't want to be crying over my dinner every night. I don't want to put anyone through that. And like, I know that I'm putting people through a lot at the moment because everybody is worried and concerned, and I don't want that. But equally, like, that day-to-day, it's like I'm currently in a day-to-day slog of the eating disorder. And, you know, yeah, I could go into the recovery slog and actually it could work out. But because I've only got so far before, and now I'm back here, that internal motivation to like do it and do it fully, because I know as well that the first bit is not easy, but the first bit is fine. Or not fine, but like you... Okay, I'm just going to say what I'm thinking because that's what I have. I have weight that I need to gain. So that first bit, you're like, okay, well, I'm gaining weight. This feels very horrible, but like I need this. When you get to the point where, you know, you don't necessarily need to gain that weight anymore, but you've still got to have all the things that you've been having because you've regained the weight, but you haven't changed the way that you're thinking about mentally. That is just, like, I remember being like the most horrific situation I've ever been in. And yes, this eating disorder is shit, but that's what's holding me back. And like, I hope that, you know, people listening to this aren't going to be like, oh, Hannah, I can't believe you said that, but I just want to be real because I think it's genuinely scary. And I know that I've got so many people now through doing Full of Beans that are fully recovered and their lives are beautiful. And, you know, they'll post pictures and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that you're doing that. Like, you used to have an eating disorder and stuff like that. And I know that it will be worth it 100%. But also going back to what we were saying about moments, like being in that literal moment when you're not recovered was hard.
Yeah, you're talking about that, it kind of makes me think of like, it's like the classic like story, isn't it? Of, you know, like any kind of like fairy tale story of anything, of this person who, you know, they live in this horrible, like dreary town or whatever. And there's a like riches or some kind of, you know, amazingness that's guarded by this horrible thing. And you could choose to stay in the town because the town's all right. Nothing, you know, you're not dying or like there's no like horrible monster like attacking you or anything. Or you could all go out and try and face the horror, have that horrible moment of facing a monster, but then you get all this amazing stuff after, it's so much better. And so many of those people in that story will say, oh, you know, I might as well stay here because, you know, at least I'm not getting you having to fight that monster because that would be shit. But then one person goes and does it and then everyone, you know, benefits from it. And I guess it always reminds me, like I was thinking of that as you were explaining it, like,
yeah.
It's kind of like that, isn't it? It's your option is you can exist in this like dreary town and you feel all right. So you could, or your other option is you could have this thing that you see as you can see it in recovery. As you said, you see other people experiencing it and having a great time and you've had a taste of it, I suppose, as well. But you've got that like horrible monster you got to fight and that's,
I freaking love this. I remember the last time that I went through recovery, I worked with a school counsellor and we made the situation into Harry Potter. So I was Harry Potter and the eating disorder was Voldemort. And then all the people in my life at the time, I gave a character. So like my two best friends at the time were Ron and Hermione. And then it, like, we worked it all out. And so that was really good actually, because then when I was struggling, I could be like Voldemort, blah, 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 blah. And as I'm such a big Disney fan and such a big princess fan, I'm thinking that this might be a really good exercise for me to actually sit down and like visualize it properly. And with your D&D skills, I feel like we could literally like, have such a...
Oh my God, I could DM a session where we go and fight your eating disorder.
And then we win. But I was just thinking about how like, I literally had it in my mind of this like, you know, the dragon on Shrek, like I had like that sort of vibes as the monster. And I can just see us in like this like pretty shitty town. And then we've all got like pitchforks and like torches and stuff. And we've got our hoods up and we're like going up this massive hill or whatever to the castle. And this actually fits in really well. When I was doing my EMDR, I had this... like moment where I was walking down this really dark alley and I was being led down this alley by some person, I think it was a man in a black cloak, I couldn't see them, but I had chains on my feet, and down the other side of the alley were my mum and dad, and there was a door that through the door there was just this bright field, like bright green grass with like pink, yellow, very full of beans flowers, let's just say that. And I could either go with this person that was holding me in chains, or I could go with my mum and dad down towards the flowers. And I had to literally force myself to like go down into the flowers. So I'm like visualizing, you know, how they do on like Disney, where everything's like really dark on one side and then there's like this mystical like sheath, and then beyond there it's like this rainbow land of like glitter and sparkle and everything. But I've got everybody that I need to do this like with me, with the pitchforks, as we like march up this path. And like there's going to be shit along the way that's going to be really hard to deal with and to navigate, but because everyone's there supporting me and I'm leading it at the front, like we're going to get up there, slay that dragon, and then it's going to all be like
this is making me like emotional. I'm like picturing this scene of like you in like armor going to fight, and then we're all still behind you like, go on, Anna. I'm like crying thinking of it, but this is like what's that psychology, Carl Jung, this is like Carl Jung's like dream, but I've been reading some of his work recently and he talks so much about like these stories and stuff, but I was getting emotional just listening to you speak about that and like picturing, yeah, like, you know, that's what it is, isn't it? You know, it's, yeah, we're there to fight it with you, and you know, that's why we're there. Yeah, I really like that. And yeah, and I love your the fact that it's linked to your Harry Potter thing as well. Because Harry could have gone back and lived with the Muggles and let Voldemort do his thing, and Voldemort would eventually come and still got to Harry. But you know, instead Harry decided to fight, and yeah, so it's a nice metaphor.
I think it's just such a good metaphor for it all, because like you said, you can, if I want to, I can just stay here. Do you want that? Like, do you want to live in that dreary town? Or do you want to live in, like, I'm literally picturing, oh my God, you know, Wreck-It Ralph, Wreck-It Ralph 2, like when the little girl, I can't remember her name, and she goes to like do a race and there's just like sweets everywhere and it's all like rainbow colours and everything. Like, that's the land that I'm envisioning. But also one thing that I want to say is, whilst this is all totally brilliant and I don't want to be negative, is that like, I have a very, and I'm so aware of this, I have a tendency of like talking about it all the time. And I was actually listening to another podcast the other day that was like eating disorder related. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good listening to a podcast and like, you know, getting other people's insight and stuff. And then I finished the podcast and I was like, now I have to actually do something about it. Like, you can't just listen to it. You can't just talk about it. You can't just like keep dreaming of it. Like, you have to actually do something in order for it to change. And I think that's the hardest part. You know, I spent years before like drawing pictures of me like, you know, fighting with Voldemort, and I was literally just going to say to you like, let's create a D&D world and we can go on D&D and we can create all these characters, but that is literally just procrastination for what I actually need to do.
I also want to add, just whilst you're thinking about that, you, like people listening, you can stay in it, but I think, I guess, a really key part of all those stories that we're talking about as well is, you know, so the person could stay in the dreary town, or Harry could go and live with the Muggles, but that dragon in the dreary would eventually come and attack the dreary town, and Voldemort would eventually come and attack Harry either way.
Absolutely.
It's not like you're completely safe forever, and that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, for some people it's deteriorating to the point where, you know, you are getting, you're really, really like physically unwell, but some people it's also just, you know, mental health wise, you just get to the point where, you know, for me, I got to the point where I was suicidal because I just refused to make those steps. And you know, and I'm not saying it is just people refusing to do things. I know it's much more difficult than that. I've been through it, but you can stay there, but it's also like, it's not risk-free as well.
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure that that's
basically thinking the same thing as you can, but realistically think about like the impact that that's going to have, because it's not going to be a happy life. It's not going to be a fulfilled life. And it will probably be, you know, a very scary and a very miserable life. And, you know, you are just a drop in the ocean at the end of the day. There is a whole world out there to see. Your eating disorder makes everything so small, because that's the way that it keeps you in it. It stops you thinking about the bigger picture and all those things you could be doing, because it gives you that, you know, one, two goals, whatever it is. And that's your kind of aim. That's all you've got to focus on. So you don't have to think about the bigger picture. I definitely know at the moment, like, I've just stopped listening to the news. I've stopped caring about like bills and stuff like that. Fortunately, like, you know, I'm not the only person that lives in my house, but because of the eating disorder, like, I don't care about anything going on external from what's happening. But I don't want to live a life like that. You know, I want to engage in everything. I want to go out and I want to, you know, see the world and achieve, you know, different things, you know, whatever they are, I don't know. But I don't just want my achievement to be that I succeeded at my eating disorder, and ultimately you never are going to. But what I was going to say, so number one that I've determined from this conversation is that you don't have to do everything today, and it can be small steps. But even if it's a tiny little, you know, just a toe wiggle, not even a step, that's better than staying where you are, or, you know, ultimately going backwards. And then the other thing is that talking about it, thinking about it, reading about it, whatever, is brilliant, but you have to actually do something about it. So yes, I am going to finish us there, because we've been talking for a while. I know, I also think I'm a bit exhausted now after that, but thank you so incredibly much. Like, I actually can't put into words how, I didn't know what I was really expecting from this. I just knew that it was kind of something I wanted to do. I didn't really know why, but yeah, I'm so grateful for you and for doing this with me. And I think it's just, you know, I was saying earlier about, like, oh, when people tell me they're concerned or whatever, like, sometimes it's buzzes the eating disorder, and sometimes this is going to sound really stupid, because, like, me and you, I think, are both quite gushy with our words, so we tell each other that we're each other's best friends all the time, which maybe other people aren't, like, oh my god, you're my best friend, like we're 5-year-olds. But the eating disorder just made me think, like, when you said that, I was like, I didn't really think about, one, how it was impacting George, or two, that you would be impacted in that way. So that kind of made me upset that I wasn't thinking about that. And then that's made me think, well, you know, you're not going to be the only person like that. And I'm going to just take those external motivating factors at the moment, because that's what I've got, and think, I don't want my friends to be, you know, oh, I'm a bit worried about Hannah, I'm going to check in with her. I want them to be like, Hannah is freaking bossing the world right now. I wonder what she's up to today. I wonder what mad things she's done, what groundbreaking things she's done, rather than, oh, is she all right?
And I think it's a combination of both a lot of the time as well.
Yeah.
But
we don't need that all or nothing, Hannah. Come on, like, yeah. you can be checked in on and be doing groundbreaking things.
Yeah, and I'll always check in on you. But yeah, it has definitely impacted me. And yeah, I think it does. But yeah, I just want you to be what I know you can be, and I think I've seen so much like happiness from you, for how long I've known you, and just I don't see as much of that at the moment. Yeah. And yeah, I don't like that. So yeah, but thank you so much for I guess, yeah, asking me to do this. And I don't know, it's really weird, because like I feel like I'm putting on this like podcast version of myself, because I'm trying to be more articulate than I might always be. So I'm going to try and just be George rather than like be podcast George, and just say that like I've enjoyed doing this, and I really care for you, and I really hope that this has helped, and I just don't want this to be like, I know you said before you'd sometimes just say the thing and then don't do it, and it's fine to not do it straight after this, and it's fine not to do it for the next month or week or whatever, but like you know, I just, yeah, I'm still here for you despite us doing this, and this isn't just we've tipped this off.
She's done, she's sorted.
I'm glad I could help with this, and I hope it's helped other people. I imagine it will, and I did, similar to you, I didn't really know what I was expecting from this, so But I do feel like we said some great stuff for people listening who can take some stuff from it. And yeah, I'm just glad that it's helped you and you've taken some stuff from it as well. And yeah, I'm here for you moving forward as well. So yeah.
Thank you. If you enjoyed listening today, you won't want to miss next week's episode. So be sure to subscribe. Eating disorders are crippling illnesses, but with the right support, they can be recovered from. We really hope you enjoyed this episode, but if you require more support right now, please look into charities such as First Steps and Beat for support, or talk to someone you trust.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.